details on the screen. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through him. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. And our reading is to do with the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's in Matthew 24, verses 30 to 35, and is on page 993 in the Bibles. Jesus said, "At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and with great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other." Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. This is the gospel of the Lord. Do sit down. We're going to look at the passage that we've just read on the second coming, and it starts with Jesus saying, "At that time." And we need to go back to the beginning of the chapter, chapter 24 of Matthew, where Jesus, we find, was sitting on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And Jesus then in Matthew 24, on those verses, in those verses before the passage we've just looked at, tells them all about the signs of the second coming. I want to do two things this morning. Firstly, say, do you believe Jesus will return? And I suspect if we ask for a hands up, most hands would go up. Yes, yes, we believe that Jesus will come again. In your lifetime? Well, and I find myself constantly in preparing for this morning, challenging myself. And it's 2,000 years since Jesus left us. Is he likely to come back in these relatively few years that we have on this earth? We don't know, but I want to challenge us today on that second issue. Will Jesus come back? Yes, he will. There's a certainty about it. We find in the Bible, there's Jesus in the passage we've just read, says, "At that time." No doubt about it. At that time, says Jesus. Matthew 25, the wonderful chapter, the next one to the one we looked at this morning, where the sun, all the things that are going to happen on the second coming, that Jesus will come, there'll be a day of judgment, the separation of sheep and goats. Jesus starts off by saying, "When the Son of Man comes." not if, when the Son of Man comes. Certainty. And then that wonderful passage in John chapter 14, and Jesus says to the disciples, then, look, don't worry, I'm going away from you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I so often think of that place, that wonderful hotel in heaven, Glyn Macaulay written on one of the doors. And then I'm going to come back again. It's not arrogant, that. There's a certainty about it. There's a certainty there. And then, says Jesus, I'll come back and I'll take you to be with me. Absolute certainty. I was at a wedding last week. In fact, I've been to a wedding and a funeral in the week. I almost make a film about it, I guess. But the bride, rather than being the traditional 5 or 10 minutes late, dear old Becky, 25 minutes ticked up, and the bridegroom said, if she doesn't come soon, I'm pushing off. I don't think he really meant it, but he did say that to the best man. And then she finally arrived. She got stuck in traffic coming from Clapham, where she lives. But there was a certainty. Becky was coming, and we were sitting there, and every now and again there would be a bit of a rustle, and people would look round to the door to see if bride and her dad were coming. There was a certainty. There was a delay. We weren't sure. There was a certainty about it. And Jesus talks about the fig tree. And it's a rather sport my illustration today, because I was really going to say, we know winter's coming. The leaves are falling off the trees. It's cold outside, putting the heating on. It's rather sporty with this glorious couple of days we're having now. But there's the fig tree. And Jesus said, look, when the figs get nice and soft, when the leaves come on the tree, you know that summer is coming. It's a fact. You can't say that's the day of summer, but summer is coming. The signs are all there. It's going to happen. And it's a wonderful comment as the funeral I was at this week, one of my ex-business colleagues, and he only a few weeks previously had been out with his wife walking in the Derbyshire Dales, had a bit of a cough, went to the doctor, and 3 weeks later, he was dead. In the course of that last week of his life, he said to his wife, and it was wonderful, I'm not frightened of dying, but I'm a bit unhappy at the timing. Wasn't that a wonderful comment? I'm not frightened of dying, but I'm a bit unhappy with the timing. We don't know the timing. We don't know as individuals when our time is going to come. There's a certainty. Secondly, in this passage, all will know. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. All the nations of the earth will mourn. They'll see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky. Power and great glory. All will know. It's going to be an enormous occasion. An enormous occasion. Paul says, the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, voice of the angel, trumpet call of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. That's what's great about the news of the second coming. We will be with the Lord forever. All will know. We can't get our minds round how an occasion can arise where Australia and New Zealand are in bed and they'll know Jesus has come. We're here alive and well in the middle of the day and we'll know. Our human minds can't cope with what that means. But we're dealing with the Creator of the universe. And as each year goes by, we seem to find out more and more about our universe. Back in Jesus' day, they just saw a flat bit of earth. Now we know there's a universe. God created that universe, and God will send his Son, and all will know. Don't ask me how we'll know. If I knew that, I would be God. When's he coming? Clear as daylight, if that's the word to use. No one knows. No one knows about that day or hour. Only the Father. Why do people guess? Why do people like to try and come up with something on this? Jesus says it's going to be like a thief in the night. If you knew the thief was coming, you'd be ready with the rolling pin behind the door. The thief comes when you're not expecting. And Jesus will come when we're not expecting. We're living life in the ordinary way. And he will come. Wonderful. the Message. I love this version of the Bible, as you probably know. It says there, many leaders are going to show up with forged identities. And hasn't that happened only in this last week? The chap who a couple of months ago said the end of the world was coming and then said, oh, I got it wrong. It's another 3 weeks. And all his church were off home to the hills again last week and he got it wrong again. Of course he'll get it wrong. Only one person knows, not even Jesus, not the angels, says the Bible. Only God knows. And let me read you another little section from the Message. I think it's great the way they phrase it. If anyone tries to flag you down, calling out, here's the Messiah, or points, there he is, don't fall for it. Fake messiahs and lying preachers are going to pop up everywhere. Their impressive credentials and dazzling performances will pull the wool over the eyes of even those who ought to know better. But I've given you fair warning. If they say run to the country and see him arrive, or quick, get downtown, see him come, don't give them the time of day. Nobody knows when the Son of Man is going to return. But he will. When he comes, all will know it. But we don't know the day. Let's get to the real guts of this. The second part of what my introduction was, will it happen in my lifetime? What's this mean for us? It's not just a little Bible lesson that we can teach ourselves and our children in Sunday school. What does this mean for me? Peter says that in the light of Jesus coming back again, we should live blameless and spotless. He uses that word as well. And be at peace with him. The sort of lives we should lead if Jesus is coming back are blameless, spotless lives. Lives that are at peace with him. It isn't a matter of saying we wait till tomorrow. The famous phrase people have used sometimes at evangelistic events, and people say, look, give your life to Jesus Christ. And they say, well, I'll wait till tomorrow. I'll wait till tomorrow. I've got other things to do. People did this in the Bible. They said to Jesus, well, I've got to bury my father first. There's all sorts of things before I make a decision. Look, says Peter, live now, blameless, spotless lives. Don't wait till tomorrow. Secondly, Paul says to those at Thessalonica, encourage one another. Encourage one another, why? Because in the previous verse, it says that Jesus will return, and you will go to be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another. Encourage one another. So in the time that we have left here on this earth as individuals, we should be those who are encouraging one another because we know of the certainty of Jesus' return. And thirdly, inevitably, back to Matthew chapter 25 again, stay awake. Be ready. Be ready. Live a life. Live a life that is ready and is expecting. And I just want to finish by reading two sections from Revelation. Revelation chapter 2, and it's the letters to the churches. And it's interesting, again, as I said at the beginning, I challenge myself with this. I enjoy the life I live. I thank God every day for what he has done for me, has given to me, and that I have now. I love it. All the things that are around, the people that are around me, I just love, and I say thank you. But is there the danger there of complacency, that I just take it all for granted? The letter to the church at Ephesus. I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you've tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You've persevered and have endured hardships for my name. And that's a pretty good list of positives. And then he says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. And I find that a challenge. after my years as a Christian, years of saying, yes, Jesus will return. Will he come in my lifetime? One's in the tram lines, if one isn't awfully careful, of a very happy life and a life that responds and worships Jesus Christ. But is that zip that was there at the beginning still around? And to the church at Laodicea in chapter 3, I know your deeds. You are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spew you out of her mouth. You say, I'm rich, I've acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. Interesting words, aren't they? You say, I'm rich, I've acquired wealth, and I do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you can become rich and have white clothes to wear. Yes, Jesus will come again. There's a certainty. We don't know when. Nobody knows when. But the challenge is for us in the years we have left, either before he returns or as we're in the grave and he returns and scoops us up, as the Bible makes it clear, the dead first and then the living. The lives we lead need to be spotless lives, need to be lives that are encouraging others, need to be lives that are awake to Jesus Christ. And we need to ensure that we are those who haven't fallen from the heights, as the book of Revelation talks about, and rather taken our wealth for granted. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all you've given to us in human and earthly things, but especially this morning, we thank you for the certainty that Jesus Christ will return, will scoop us up, and we will be with him forever. Father, may our lives be the lives that expect that to happen, lives that won't be embarrassed when he appears. Help us in this, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.